Welcome back to Meditation Mindset. Time spent alone is the most important...
Sergey, are you still in the bath?
Yes, I'm listening to my podcast.
Can I come in?
No! Oh!
Just need to grab the claw clippers. Don't worry, I'll cover my eyes.
What?
Whoa!
Carl, I'm gonna fall!
Whoa! I'm still not looking.
And I'm not listening to my podcast.
Don't wombat it, meerkat it.
Simples.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for coming back. Click subscribe right here. Get all the clips and past episodes. We got a lot of good ones coming up. Today's is with KJ Wright, Seattle Seahawk legend, Super Bowl champ, Pro Bowler, an all-around great guy. We talk everything football, the draft, Seahawks 2013, being in the fucking Vegas skyline, the being on the Raiders for a little bit. KJ's the man. Sat down with me for an hour and change, and it's a great interview. So enjoy it. Follow KJ on Instagram and Twitter right here. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Special. Information on the special coming soon. I'm locking in a location as we speak and then shooting a brand new special. But in the meantime, come see me on the road this coming weekend, Huntington Beach, California, April 29th. The Rec Room, can't wait, doing an hour of brand new shit. Come out and see your boy April 29th, Huntington Beach, The Rec Room, 7:30. And then, of course, May 5th and 6th with the Impractical Jokers in Denver and Utah. Come out and see us there, impracticaljokers.com for tickets. May 4th, a special show in Seattle just added with Joey McIntyre at the Showbox. Come out and see your boy. That's going to be a lot of fun. Tickets, I think, on Joey's Instagram for that. May 10th, Red Rocks. Of course, you know where that is. Come out and see that show. Chelsea Handler, myself, Joe McHale, Jay Farrell, Red Rocks. As a part of Series Fest, come out and see us in Denver, Colorado. And then May 18th through the 20th, your boy's going to be in Atlanta at the Punchline. Can't wait to go back to that room. I love it. But before I go to Atlanta, I just forgot. We just added May 12th at the Hollywood Improv. Holy shit, I'm doing an hour. Come out and see me May 12th. I cannot fucking wait. AdamRayComedy.com for all these tickets. AdamRayComedy.com for your merch. Yeah, tell a friend, tell a lover about the pod. We got a lot of good eps coming up. And a lot of good apps coming your way right now with KJ Wright, Seahawk legend. Let's do it.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Do you get a lot of blue check DMs?
Yeah, kinda. Like people like people trying to sell jewelry or trying to sell stuff.
Gotcha. Well, I did want you to see if you'd like to invest in. I just have a whole coat of bracelets. Any comedians hitting you up?
No.
Yeah. All right. So that'd be right.
This is the first one.
Yeah. All right. And what did Cliff say?
He gave me the thumbs up.
Nice, dude.
He's cool.
Yeah. Cliff rules, dude. You guys. What's really cool, and I guess I got to see it at the Champions of Change game, at least like my first time seeing live, like how close-knit so many of you guys are.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can speak to this, but that obviously translates on the field, right?
Absolutely.
I feel like I've heard countless athletes talk about that. And, you know, and I was just talking about with Steve Rabel about like in the acting world, right? Mm-hmm. Like on a show, you can't fake chemistry.
Yep.
Like, and you see it. It's like when a show just clicks, you're like, oh yeah, those people clearly
like each other. They the word is love each other. They really love each other and they respect each other. And when you look to your left, you got your guy. Look to my right, I got my guy. Look at my D-line. Oh, this my boy. It's like we're one big happy family out here trying to kick somebody's tail on the football field.
Yeah.
So just a beautiful thing. We have that dynamic, that respect for one another. Like I'm playing for my brother and he's playing for me. And like I can't mess up because I don't want to ruin this game. And so you just play with that extra energy, that extra effort to not let anybody down.
And that's not a thing in every organization, right? Which is so crazy hearing. Like the more people start to go, man, the Seahawks, like we just had this, you know, different brotherhood in the way, like, you know, we all just clicked and respected each other.
Yeah.
I was like, is that not the case? Like some guys are just very businesslike, right?
Yeah, I only played for two organizations.
Yeah.
Played for the Raiders for a hot cup of coffee. And
I love that saying.
Well, I was there for 5 months.
Yeah.
And so I came in on the scene like, wait, new guy here, older guy here. I'm trying to find my way on the team.
Is that nerve-wracking?
It sucked.
Really?
It sucked. Yeah. My whole career, I went through OTAs, went through training camp, entered the season. This season I went to first week, we're playing the Baltimore Ravens in 6 days. I got a playbook. I got to make friends. I got to learn who my coach is, what his coaching style is.
And there's no – what sucks is I don't think people probably, at least the organization or the players, they're like, yeah, man, like this is the bit – like learn this. Like no one's being like, give KJ a couple weeks, right? Yeah, they're just like, dude, I'm surprised you don't have everything memorized.
No.
You don't know my second favorite food or what I'm allergic to? Yeah.
I'm in
defeat. You didn't know that, KJ?
This is the NFL, and it is, let's get this done quickly, efficiently, and at a very high level. We don't have time. You get acclimated. Oh, you just left your wife and kids? Yeah, cool story. We got the Baltimore Ravens this week. Oh, you don't have a place to stay? Cool story. Let's get this playbook done. You don't have a vehicle? It's so much stuff that people don't understand. And, like, I remember when I signed to the Raiders. Who do you think the first person I called was? Probably the third person I call. Putting you on the spot here.
Mike Salk. No.
he's dismissed.
Yeah. Shit, when you signed with the Raiders, first person you called, wife?
First person I called was wife.
Yeah. Second
mom and dad.
Yeah.
Third person I called was my in-laws, my wife's mom. And I called, I said, hey, Miss Sylvia, I was sad. I said, Miss Sylvia, I'm about to leave. I'm about to be gone for 6 months. I called my mother-in-law. She lives in Medellin, Colombia. I said, please come up here and be with my family. Please come up here and have some support for my wife. We got 3 kids. We got volleyball here. We got basketball here. We got bus routes here. I'm like, I feel guilty leaving. I felt bad. But I knew that I wanted to do it. But at the same time, it's like, damn, I'm leaving my kids. Like, my boys are here right now.
Yeah,
it sucks not tucking them in at night.
So it's, yeah, I can't imagine that. But like you knew you were gonna play at least one more. Is that kind of?
I knew that.
And you because what? Because you know you could still what? I mean, obviously make a little cash, but then also like gas in the tank. You're like, I could still. I guess what for a player I'm wanting to know from a fan point determines like well, it's, I'm done.
Well, did you watch my last year with the Seahawks? I kicked some tail. That's probably my best.
Bro, I don't know why we didn't bring it back, but you know.
And I went from the Will linebacker spot to the Sam linebacker spot.
Yeah.
And no one wants to play the Sam linebacker position. No one. It's the worst position on the defense. Trust me.
Why?
You're taking on tackles all day, taking on tight ends, you're buzzing to the flat. You're essentially out of the game. They tell you to set the edge and turn it back to the big boys in the middle. I'm like, where's my tackles coming in? And so I went from the Will to the Sam, but I made the position look very, very nice. I brought that position to life. I took my mental, how I made my plays as a Will linebacker, and I put it at that position. And I had my best year in year 10.
Yeah.
And so, you dang right, I want to come back and play some more football. But the market that year for KJ Wright was non-existent.
Why? Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure that out to this day.
Sure.
Not trying to figure it out, but it still baffles me to this day.
Sure.
COVID happened, so the salary cap shrunk.
Yep.
32-year-old linebacker. Does he have life left in his legs? They
even
want
when
to get younger.
Just proved it.
It's
like
so
people still will look at like age and whatever else and just try to create their own. It almost feels like from there and they were trying to talk themselves into like we don't want to. It seems like the betting move is to not.
And GMs have to do that. They call those analytics. Like, stats say that this guy is going to start declining.
Yeah.
It's just in the history of ball, when you get to this age, when you get to this salary cap number that this guy wants, his production will not meet this salary that we're about to pay him. And so you look at it. We have to, as a GM, I think you got to think, we got to invest in other places before we get to this linebacker.
Right.
Right, I believe that's how they operate. And so it definitely did suck when the salary cap shrunk because it shrinks everybody. It shrinks, you know, everybody. And so I had to bite that bullet and I didn't get my phone didn't ring until like June.
Oh, wow.
Who called me? I talked to the Niners.
Yeah.
They called me. Talked to them. I got so excited. Talked to the Cowboys. I'm like, okay, let's make something happen.
Wow.
And then when you get talking dollars, it's like, I'm not leaving my couch for that. Like,
Yeah, you got to, I mean, you know your worth.
Yeah, like.
And what's, yeah, I mean.
Come on, what are we doing?
Now, is that even kind of tough? Because there's even like times, I'll just equate it to like comedy or acting where it's like, you want to do a certain gig, they don't, you know, it's, when you're coming up, for sure, that's the move, right? When you're trying to build a resume and a reel, like, I'll do student films and whatever, or things for little pay, because I'm trying to just get reps, yeah. Right? But yeah, you get to a certain point where it's like, you know, Spielberg wants you in this movie, it's, you know, three scenes, but they're great scenes, but, oh, it's scale. And yeah. You're like, oh, man, but you just wait, risk reward, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like for you mm-hmm. to really, like, even going to Dallas, probably exciting, reunite with Quinn, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. got to, but if it's not there, it's just, yeah. Is it an easy decision at that? Because, you know, leaving the family and everything, right?
Yeah, it was a decision that had to be made. I was forced into that decision. Like, I can't continue to wait for something magical or spectacular pop up. This is my only decision. Yeah. I there's no options to wait. And so, since you got to take this opportunity that, right. that you've been given.
How was Vegas?
It was cool. Different.
That was great different. Answer. By the way, that you just responded like you just got back from a weekend like in Vegas that was unexpected, and you're like, I mean, I don't know, man. Did I sleep on the floor? Yeah, like it was, you know.
It was okay.
Yeah.
I didn't, my juices weren't flowing on game day.
Your football juices.
My football juices were not flowing on game day. I didn't wake up during the week like, man, I'm about to prepare, I'm about to go watch film, I'm about to get excited to take on my opponent. I didn't get that feeling that I've gotten throughout my entire career. And when you step into the stadium on game day, it's more away fans than there are home fans.
Yeah.
You're in this big black dome. You know, like my hair stands up when I enter the stadium in Lumen Field. I didn't get that there. I didn't get it. And so, met some great people.
Yeah.
Played for Gus Bradley, my old defensive coordinator. Yeah. You know, made some friends, Denzel Perriman, Josh, Max. So, guys were cool, but it's just different.
We were talking about Derek Carr and just like, before we start recording, about like where he might go. Do you, now that you're in this, and by the way, crushing it, dude. I listen to mm-hmm. every time you're on Brock and Salk. And Rabel and I were just talking about this, how rare it is, I think more often than not, for a player to step into this world and succeed like you are and be as mm-hmm. likable, you know, I mean, it's why, like, again, to equate to my life, like writers who then try to do stand up, some of them just aren't performers, right? And that's yeah. fine, but they can sit down and you know, fill up a page right. with the best jokes, but just connecting those dots. But like, for you to step in behind the mic effortlessly
yeah.
and articulately, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I want to know, first of all, was it when people were like, dude, KJ Wright shows, dude, that's a good show, dude. Dude, Family Guy, Gilmore Girls, KJ Wright show. Those are my programs. Like, when that guy comes at you, are you like, yeah, duh, dude, I knew that I was always this good behind the mic?
No, not at all. Okay. I knew that I know ball. I know football, yeah. and I know what goes on within the organization. I lived it my entire adulthood. So there's nothing you can get past KJ Wright that I haven't seen before. And so I guess my job was to bring that to the fans. No, this DB didn't get beat because he got beat. His defensive coordinator called a terrible call in this situation that led to this touchdown. Let's look at it from a holistic standpoint, right? And so for me to take what I saw my entire career, bring it to the fans, I'm really thankful that I could just make football make more sense to them. And so it has been fun. Brock and Salk have been amazing
yeah.
and you know, bringing me in, telling me do's and don'ts in this game. So it's been fun.
I like that you said nothing gets past KJ Wright. I mean, that's a great bumper sticker or for your own show at some point. Like, you know, on and off the field, nothing gets. Hi, I'm KJ Wright, and I'm tackling the conversation. Do you know what I'm saying?
I like that.
Yeah, all right. He's not going to use it. Did you? So Derek Carr, we were just saying, like, how now much are you invested in the post play? Interest in the game? Like, do you watch? Are you watching like ESPN Nightly? Are you like, you know, I don't know if you're in fantasy football, or are you just way more interested than you were while you were playing about like where Derek yeah. Carr is going to go?
Yeah. I'm a football junkie.
Yeah.
I'll die a football junkie.
Do you have to be to play?
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
No. Okay.
Some guys don't even love football,
hilarious.
But they play it professionally.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if Tom Brady was like, dude, I hate football.
That's impossible.
I hate football, but I love money. It's like, all right.
I know a guy. Yeah. I'm not going to say his name.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say his name. We'll get there.
Okay.
Another off
yeah, record. Okay.
But
always been a junkie, yeah?
Always been a football junkie. Just, I remember growing up watching the draft with my dad each and every year. We watched the combine, and he had posters of Emmitt Smith and Deion Sanders in my room. I was bred to love football, and so I love talking about it as well. Future plans, I could see myself really building a team, really building a franchise. Like, people ask me, like, do you think this guy can fit with the Seahawks? I'm like, no. Do you not see his tape? Like, this guy will not fit. Mm. So what are we talking about here? And So I just believe I got a niche for it, a net for it. I definitely have a passion to one day do it.
So your pops, would you say, is kind of the one that introduced you to the sport, more or less, as far as, like, we're going to watch this together? Or, like, just basically showing. It's crazy to even think about the first, like, you know, even as I think about, you know, like, what was the first sport I watched where I was like, whoa, what is, like, I remember Eddie Murphy Delirious, the first stand-up I saw where I was like, yo, that looks so fun, right? So, like, what sport-wise, I think it might have been Griffey or Kemp and Payton, if I'm really jarring my mind, for, like, the thing that impacted me, right?
Yeah.
So do you remember what that was for you as a young KJ?
For me, it was the Dallas Cowboys, and it was watching Michael Irvin, watching Deion, watching Troy Aikman. I remember vividly as a kid watching Deion Sanders play, and I remember telling my dad, like, I don't think he's that good. He doesn't tackle very well. And my dad was like, oh, he does everything else really, really good. And that's the conversation I remember, like, 7, 8 years old.
Wow.
I remember Michael Irvin when he messed up his neck. I remember that as a kid. And so I was just always glued to the TV, always watching it. And my guy was Kobe Bryant. And so, watch Kobe. I would stay up late and just watch Kobe. I would ask my mom, I don't want to go to bed. Let me watch. Because they were playing the West Coast. I was like, I want to watch Kobe. And so I just remember the Cowboys and Kobe Bryant. And that was my team. So that was my guy.
Role model stab. This is growing up in Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
What part?
Olive Branch. Right by Memphis, Tennessee.
That's where we shot Young Rock, Memphis. I stayed at the Peabody Hotel.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
You know where that is?
Oh, yeah.
The Ducks?
Well, the
Ducks. Dude, yeah. I think there's a special fraternity, just like there is in football, people who know of the Peabody Hotel.
That's where
a
you
Duck
go.
A Duck show every 11 a.m., 5 p.m.
Yep.
Guy comes out, you know, crushes it, just introduces these Ducks like he's getting paid millions, and he's not.
And people love it.
People love it, dude.
People love it.
What's going on in Olive Branch? Growing up, what was it?
Nothing's going on in Olive Branch.
Man.
Football is going on in Olive Branch.
No kidding.
Sports. Going to church in Olive Branch every Sunday. That's what's going on in Olive Branch. Not too much happening.
So you were do you have a good group of friends? Like, what would you do, I guess, after school? Like, what were the
Go to Sonic, grab some food.
Nice.
You'll go to went to the skating rink growing up.
Roller skating or ice skates?
Roller skating.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's not much happening. That's why.
I don't know, Sonic and roller skates. Like, most people are getting really excited to make a move to Olive Branch.
I'm telling you. So it was just a rural city. That's where my family is. So I love my family.
You're a big family guy, yeah.
Love my family.
Yeah.
Love my family. That's where majority of them are now, mom, dad, grandparents. And, eventually go get a house built just to take my boys there because they love it. They love going to Mississippi. Dad, we're going to Mississippi.
That's awesome, right?
Yeah.
Is your family, I mean, obviously when you start to get into football and it becomes, I'm always curious from an athlete standpoint, that point when, I don't know, letters are coming your way or you just find in yourself, you get back from a game. You know, I played offensive guard and defensive line, right?
Yeah.
Just 2 years and then quit to play Danny Zuko in Greece and then started becoming an actor. But basketball was the main sport.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not quitting anything for that. But football, I was like, you don't hear about too many 6'1" Jewish linemen, right? Name one.
I can't.
Exactly. I was like, you know, I don't know if this is going to be, but like, you know, coach made me sophomore captain starting varsity sophomore year because a senior got injured. So I was like, because of those expectations, I was like, maybe I should follow football. But it's not where, like you said, like where my heart was. It was hoops. But, you know, there were guys around me that I'm like, oh, that guy's going to play college and be good. You could just tell. When was that point for you where you're like, all right, this is going to be something I really put my all my focus on?
My sophomore year in college.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was playing LSU, down in LSU, and this is my first year fully starting. And, you know, LSU, big-time powerhouse.
Let's go.
But I went in there, and I kicked some tail. And talking to my dad again, he's like, you think you could do this? And I was like, yeah, I could do this. I'm going to the pros. I'll be in the NFL. I knew once I had that moment, that game, I was like, if I can hang with these dudes, I can hang with anybody. And so you just fast forward sophomore, junior, senior year, kept kicking tail, looked up in the fourth round, pick number 99, finally got my phone rang. And
yeah, take me through draft day.
Well, let me take you through the first 2 days.
Please.
It was a disaster.
Did you have a party?
No, it was just me, my mom, and dad.
Okay.
And you know, you're sitting there watching it. Like, I had this big knot in my stomach the entire time, watching people's names get called, watch linebackers' names get called. Like, bro, are they serious? They took him?
I was just going to say, what's going through your head? Like, yeah.
I'm sick. I'm sick to my stomach. Like, they really took this guy over me. They will call you. Your phone would ring on draft day. They're like, hey, third round, if you're here, we're going to take you. The Saints did that. And the Bears. I said, if you're here, we're going to take you. Fast forward, the pick gets called. Martez Wilson out of Illinois gets taken in the third round by the New Orleans Saints. And I'm like, what is this? Why did you call my phone to lie to me?
Oh, my God.
This is my life. This is my life.
God, dude.
That we're talking about.
Emotional roller coaster.
And then once day two ended, I remember just leaving the house. I took off running to my high school.
Forrest Gump style.
Forrest Gump style. I took off running.
Were you in Mississippi?
In Mississippi. Left my mom's house, went to the high school, and told my mom, I'm not going to graduation tomorrow. I'm not walking across that stage. She's like, oh, you're going to graduation tomorrow. Like, no, I'm not. She said, oh, you're going to graduation tomorrow. Next thing, I'm putting my cap and gown, going to graduation. And then right before I walked across the stage, they called me. John Schneider did, and said, hey, you want to be a Seahawk? I said, absolutely. Let's
get out of here, dude. Yeah. Right before. That's the great. I don't know if you did a.
I threw my cap
cool
in the air.
Dance, man. Did you, like, I got four moves, but like, I don't know if you did something. And then, yeah, cap in the air, just.
Yeah, well, I was whispering to John. He's like, you not excited? Like, what's going on? I said, hey, bro, I'm at graduation. Like,
that's amazing.
I can't.
Man,
I can't
if you
scream.
Called like 10 minutes ago, I could actually given you a real moment here. Dude, that's. Is that emotional to think back on? Or is it, because so few get that call and it's life-changing potentially. So, mm-hmm. I mean, and everything you'd worked for and especially the 2 days of disappointment.
Yeah.
Is it?
It's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful story. It was my story. KJ, this is your story. You're going to be pick number 99 in the fourth round to the Seattle Seahawks. What are you going to do with this opportunity?
Is that what they said to you?
No, that's what I'm saying to myself.
Gotcha.
What are you going to do with this moment? You're going to come into camp. You're going to earn a starting spot. You're going to have a beautiful career. So that when you get drafted, even if you get undrafted, the choice is yours of what you do with your career. The choice is yours. Am I going to come in early? Am I going to learn the playbook? And am I going to take care of my body? The choice is yours. I see so many guys come in, whether you're the first round pick or an undrafted guy, but they don't handle their responsibilities. They just expect greatness to fall out of the sky. It doesn't work like that. And I was just fortunate enough that I had the mental maturity to do it, and I had a phenomenal coach in Ken Norton Jr. to groom me along the way. And so I don't give a damn where you get drafted at. Whatever you, when you get in the building, make it happen.
Yeah, that's an incredible mindset. And you came in with, should I have it down here, but you know best.
Let's do legends.
Yeah, dude. I wrote it down.
I know it vividly. It was James Carpenter.
Yep.
John Moffitt.
Yep.
KJ Wright.
Yep.
Chris Durham. Richard Sherman.
Yep.
Pep Leviston, Malcolm Smith, Byron Maxwell. I understand it in order. Maxwell, Pep, Malcolm.
Bro, that's incredible. Incredible. Dude, I also forget that, like, Maxwell was in that class. Like, I mean, so when you get in the, and I asked Dougie B about this, like, the locker room, he talks about just hitting the ground running and getting there, and, you know, obviously, like, you know, it's to the chip on the shoulder, whatever it is that you're using to motivate you. Did you just have that coming in, or did coming in with like a class like that and also an organization that was on the come up, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know that going in. Do John and Pete let you know, like, yo, here's what's going down, you know, this is where we're looking, like, we got this? Or do you just look around day one or week one and go, oh shit,
yeah,
this is incredible?
Yeah. So we, I don't know if Doug told you, but we came in during the lockout year. So we didn't have OTAs.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we didn't
you
have
did say that,
any
yeah.
of that. So when you talk about we got on the ground running, everything happened very, very fast.
You had no time to think and process.
You had no time to think. They called you, said, hey, we got you a flight tomorrow. I said, hold up. Tomorrow? Yeah, dude. What are you talking about tomorrow? Give me some time.
Yeah, I got to hit Sonic, man.
I got to hit Sonic. So they said, get on a plane tomorrow. So I went from a kid that's never left the state of Mississippi, grew up there, played college football there, get on a flight to Seattle, Washington tomorrow, like this. And he hit the ground running. We had an NFL game in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Get out of here.
That's bizarre. That was bizarre.
It doesn't sound legal.
It shouldn't have been legal. As a rookie, and I didn't have my contract. I was trying to like get my contract figured out. I didn't like the terms, and my agent was like, yeah, this is some bull crap. You know, they doing this and that. But I'm like, Buzz, I'm ready to – I'm here. I can't wait. I got to go. And 2 weeks later, we had a football game. And so I didn't have time to look around and admire what was happening. I had to get my contract signed, put on my shoulder pads, get my helmet fitted on. Let's go practice the next day.
First impressions of Seattle, of VMAC, I mean, just the whole thing. Was it everything that it became as far as like the way that you and so many others have spoke of?
Yeah, it was, for me, it was a culture shock.
Yeah.
Yeah, just with the culture, the people, the food. I'm not used to this. Malcolm Smith, he had a calamari. I'm like, bro, what the hell is calamari?
What'd you call me?
Yeah. I'm like, what is calamari? He's like, bro, you have to get calamari? I was like, no. And so stuff like that, I was ignorant to. And then just coming in, looking at the beautiful lakes and mountains, like, we don't have that where I'm from.
Yeah.
But when I got here, I got settled in. I'm like, I consider myself a Seattle native. Like, I've been here going on 13 years now. Like, this is my home.
It's awesome.
And so I don't ever plan on leaving. It doesn't make any sense for KJ Wright to ever move anywhere.
I'm sure it helps, like, any place you go. Like, when people come to L.A. and they're like, yeah, I was there for 2 years and it rained the whole time. Or I went to Disneyland and it was foggy. I'm like, well, hey, you probably brought some, you know, pretty crappy energy and, you know, affected that weather change. But also, 2 years ain't enough, in my opinion, for any sort of, like, oh, I did it. You know what I'm saying? And so even to be here in Seattle for, we said, coming up on 13 years?
13.
I guess take me through that first season then. I mean, first game, jitters, or like, you know, are you just so excited and going on adrenaline that, and because again, it was so quick that you don't have time to.
Yeah, so I earned my starting spot. David Hawthorne got injured.
Yes.
Right? KJ, we don't have a Mike linebacker. Lofa Tupu, they cut Lofa. And so they put me at the Mike linebacker spot. I never played Mike in my life. So I'm here calling the huddle, getting guys lined up. Fast forward, Heater's still hurt. So week one of the regular season, we go down to San Francisco, California, and play the Niners. It's Alex Smith, Frank Gore, Vern. Like, these are the guys. And I had a good-ass game. I played really good. My entire family flew out there to come watch me play. And there's another moment with my dad, and I'm telling you, he's been there every step of the way.
It's awesome.
And he was like, "Hey, you can do this." And I was like, "Yo, I know, I can do this."
Especially in that environment, right, with the away fans going nuts. I mean, do you tune that out?
Or do you embrace it?
You embrace it. I love that. Yeah.
Come on, give me all of this.
I never understand when players are like, "Yeah, I don't hear anything." I'm like, I don't know. Like,
oh,
I heard
no.
some pretty offensive things when I was playing high school basketball thrown my way, and I was just like, "I'm gonna hit a three in your face next time."
And the favorite part is when you're riding on the bus to the away stadium. My favorite place is Philly. When you pull up to Philadelphia, they flipping the bird at you, they cussing at you, doing all kind of gestures. Then you walk in the stadium, they're booing you. There's no better feeling.
Wow.
There's no better feeling than going in someone else's house where they hate you, where they're rooting against you.
And shutting them up.
Kick their ass. And like, I'm going back to my house. It was nice here. Chuck up the deuces. Well, I'm not going to spy our flight to Seattle.
When you break it down like that, coming into someone's house, kicking their ass, and then leaving.
And like, leaving. There's nothing you can do to me. You can't do anything to me but take this. No better feeling.
So you hadn't planned on starting that first year.
I didn't know what I planned. No, I just wanted to cut. No, my goal was to obviously make the team.
Yes.
Like, when I got drafted, I was like, okay, KJ. I started looking at the rosters, like, okay, who's in front of me? Who's here? Who's there? My goal was to simply just make the team. And when I got there, literally a week and 2 weeks later, I was starting. Yeah, it happened so fast.
Ken Norton pull you aside, like, give you any sort of words of wisdom or what? Or is it almost like, again, I'm just always curious of that line of you know, pulling somebody aside and getting a little, you know, heart to heart with them about like this big opportunity, this kind of crazy, or is it just like, no, dude, you're supposed to be here?
No, my first interaction with Coach Norton was first got there, landed on the plane. It was him and Malcolm right there in the, on the board. And he came in there. He was like, hey, what's up, man? I'm looking for a guy that's 6'3", 245 pounds, can rush the passer, can tackle really well. Do you know a guy like that? And I'm like, who the hell is he talking about? I said, Clay Matthews. Yeah. He's like, no, fool, you. And so Norton, he always had like these games like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, this man, from day one to my last play, he was my guy. When he left and went to the Raiders, I called. I'm like, Norton, I'm looking at this. I see this. I'm struggling in this area. He was my coach my entire career.
Wow.
Right? And since day one, just been a father figure to me. Always had me over for Thanksgiving. Always watching boxing. Just get your mind ready before the game. It was one game when Bobby was hurt. Who else? Malcolm was hurt. Like, all the linebackers was hurt. And he called me out in front of everybody. Saturday night, he was playing the Carolina Panthers. He was like, there's nobody here. You the only healthy linebacker we have. What are you going to do with it? He called me out in front of everybody. He's like, what are you going to do with this? And I kid you not, I went out there and I had the game of my life because he pushed me. He put, you know, I like that pressure to say that I can't do something or say that I need you to execute this for me. Nort was that guy for me. He understood triggers to get his guys going.
Gotcha.
And he knew my triggers.
Push your buttons, you were going to respond.
He bought the best out of me.
Wow. So you're going up against Newton, McCaffrey, and you just balled out, yeah?
No, McCaffrey wasn't. It was Cam Newton, Jonathan Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
It was these guys.
Talk about routine. Like you said about like Ken saying getting your mindset, watching boxing stuff or sucking down yams, whatever. What was the Thanksgiving go-to, by the way? What's your go-to?
We went over there. He always had gumbo for like midnight snack.
Wow. For a midnight snack?
Yeah.
Gangster.
Well, like 8 o'clock, yeah. 8, 9 o'clock.
What's the KJ Wright, by the way, snack food of choice right now? If we're just saying like, you know, snow day, right? Pull the kids out. You're kicking it. Doing a little pod. If you can go home, put on some ESPN classic, watch an old Super Bowl, like whatever. Like, what are you chowing down on?
I'm good with some Oreos and the yellow Oreos.
Damn.
Not the black ones.
Those aren't the Halloween ones. What are the yellow ones?
No, they're like vanilla. They're good.
Gotcha.
You should try them.
Okay.
And some hot Cheetos.
And together in the same bite?
No. Just either or. No, I'll be on the toilet all night eating them together. either or. Just give me some hot Cheetos or give me some Oreos.
Bro, good call.
And I'm good to go.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Well, it's another new year. We made it, 2023. We did it. Congratulations. Hug yourself, touch yourself, so that when you ask yourself who touched you, you know who it was. You got goals, guys, okay? And you want to achieve all of them, every single one of them. And Factor is here to help you do that. So if you're looking to fuel up fast with ready-to-eat nutritious meals, yikes. You ever just forget how to read? Meals delivered straight to your door, then Factor's the place to go, okay? They leave you time and energy to tackle everything else in your to-do list, so you don't have to worry about where and what you're eating. Achieve and maintain your 2023 goals with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, and start saving time, eating well, and living your best life yet. If you love Factor, probably because you're too busy to cook and you don't like going to the grocery store and potentially, running into somebody from your past, and you want to skip the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up too. Well, Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, and all you need is heat and a positive attitude. So whether your lifestyle is keto, calorie smart, vegan, protein plus options are on the menu each week. They're prepared by chefs and approved dietitians, not these unapproved dietitians. And each meal has all the ingredients that you need to feel satisfied all day long. 34 chef prepared, dietitian approved weekly options are there for you. Plus, you can round out your meal and replenish your snack supply with an assortment of 36 plus sweets, smoothies, juices, and more satisfying add-ons. Cut back on takeout and get Factor instead. Okay, it's ready to make, ready to eat food in just 2 minutes. Eating vegan or veggie is a snap with Factor. Each meal is prepared by the chefs that know what you want, and they're excited to give it to you. So head to factormeals.com/lastnight50 and use promo code lastnight50 to get 50% off your first box. That's insane. I didn't know that was the deal until I just read it. That's crazy. 50% off at factormeals.com/lastnight50. And you're going to get 50% off your first box. That's insane, so you got to do it. There's no better deal out there, and no better food as well. Factor.com/aboutlastnight. Oh, wait, /lastnight50. Okay, do that. Hey, guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying the episode, and it's cookie time. Attention, all cookie lovers. including me. Love cookies. Cookies are my weakness. I've said it before, and I'm saying it again right now. I know you crave the sweet taste of freshly baked cookies. Just saying that makes me foam at the mouth. Say it again with me. Freshly baked cookies dipped in milk or eaten by themselves. Well, look, my friends at Twin Life Baking Company have you covered in cookies. With cookies, you can cover yourself in cookies. It's your life. Made from the finest ingredients and baked to perfection. They've got flavors like red velvet stuffed Nutella, vanilla cookie monster, rocky road, s'more, strawberry short stack, birthday, funfetti, chocolate bomb, snickerdoodle, pumpkin snickerdoodle, classic chocolate chip, cinnamon toast crunch, cowboy cookie, cookies and cream, lemon delights, and guess what? My very own cookie. That's right, the Adam Ray Pop-Tart. Little bits of brown sugar Pop-Tart on a cinnamon Snicker. It's a chocolate. Just trust me, all right? It's the greatest cookie I've ever had. I get emotional thinking about it. If you're listening to this, you're probably a person with great taste buds and you love great cookies and you want to celebrate two badass moms. So right now, go to TwinLifeBakingCompany.com and use promo code AboutLastNight to save 20% off your order. That's TwinLifeBakingCompany.com. Promo code AboutLastNight to save 20% off your order. What time is it? Cookie time. Now let's get back to the episode.
All right. So, so Ken, wants you to get your mind right. But is there a, in the linebacker meetings or with coaches, or did you just have a, routine instilled in you, high school, college, that you're like, yeah, this should carry me over to the pros? Or is the pros just such a new game where you're like,
you're clueless. Oh, man. You're clueless. You have no idea how to prepare. High school, that mess, obviously not. Pro college, no. This is the NFL. This is the best of the best. This is where guys come in and careers end very, very quickly. Only the strong can survive in the NFL. If you don't have a good routine to get you from Monday to Sunday on a consistent basis, we're talking about 11 years, you're not going to last. It doesn't work like that. Yeah. You have to be regimented. You have to be consistent. You got to be adamant and dialed into the details if you want to put together anything great in life. It's, to hell with football. If you want to do anything great in life, you got to be consistent at it. And you got to formulate a plan and like, okay, this is working. I need to do this. I need to do that. And okay, I'm going to continue doing this. I'm going to tweak it here and there as I get older. But this is my stuff, and this is what I'm going to do.
And what was your day-to-day? Can you take us through, like, I don't know, did you guys have a full D meetings? Like, was it like corners and linebackers and linemen? Would you all get together and just growl at each other, like, pregame? was there a big pump-up session, or was it all like, I need this much sleep, I guess. I'm going to eat this.
Yeah, so on, let me take it. So on Monday, you're sore. Just had a game. I got an Epsom salt. That was my thing. Epsom salt massage. Boom. Tuesday hit. Cold tub. Freeze your legs up. Have them frozen. Been up for like 12, 15 minutes.
Damn.
Boom. Got the cold tub. We watch film every Tuesday as linebackers. We get the game plan before the game plan. We see our opponents. You don't want to come in on Wednesday and not know who the heck you're playing. Yeah. That's bizarre to me.
Yeah.
So you watch film on Tuesday and the coaches bring in the scouting report. Hey, we're going to do this. Not mandatory. But it's mandatory, if that makes sense. Then you go through your Wednesday. Wednesday, I wake up at 5:30. Got 6 a.m. meetings. We meet before the day even gets started. We have our own separate meeting before we even get started with the rest of the day. That's Wednesday. Thursday, do your thing. Friday, massages, acupuncture. Nothing on Saturday. Watch football, hang out with the kids on Saturday. Get ready for the time of your life on Sunday. That's the routine.
Damn.
And I left a lot of stuff out too.
Of course,
I left out the yoga and the
I was just gonna say, well, acupuncture stood out. Like that's treatment wise.
Mm-hmm.
There's you have to have a routine each week to kind of like hit the reset button. Yeah.
Yep. And yoga was on Tuesdays. Yep. Stay nimble. Stay loose.
How much
stay
sleep?
Flexible. When I put them little chumps to bed, that's when I'd spend time with the wife. Got to spend time with her, and I'm in bed soon after I put the kids to bed.
Can you hit the pillow and you're out?
I'm asleep.
Damn.
I'm out like a light.
Yeah, because I can only assume that the week of just mental and physical preparation, you're ready to crash.
Yeah. And when I had my kids, I vowed not to bring work home. That was my thing. I'm not going to bring work home. I'm not going to watch film home. I'm not going to do this. Once KJ steps foot in the door, I'm full dad mode.
So also meaning like if there was a game that just didn't go the way you were hoping, like just leave it at the door, yeah?
Yeah. What if you want to get better, do it at work or wake up early.
I love that.
If you want to do it, I try my darndest not to bring work to the house.
Also probably nice, right? You see their faces. Like, that's got to be a good, like, takes the
Because I get home late. You know, got home late. And so I'm like, what I look like being gone all day, coming home doing more work. Like, who does that?
Oh, man.
I got a wife, three kids. Like, they need my time as well.
Yeah, I love that.
And so I wanted to be present when I stepped into the household.
Were you ever like a kid, I guess, in a way where, you know, fuck, dude, for the Super Bowls, like, there's got to be a... you know, a part of you that's like, I can't sleep. Like, for that first Super Bowl in New York, like, I know I couldn't sleep. I mean, granted, I had done a show, and then, like, you know, the cocktails were flowing. It was New York City. We were, like, so pumped, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the game being later in the day, like, helped. But, like, I guess just that specifically, like, were you, like, so jazzed that you couldn't sleep?
I was fine.
Wow.
I was fine. This is a game of my life. This is, I've dreamed of this moment since I was a kid watching it as a Super Bowl. But woosah. Woosah.
What's that?
Chill. Relax.
Nice.
You ever heard of woosah?
I've heard of Hakuna Matata.
No, not even close.
What's woosah?
Woosah is chill. Like, woosah.
Gotcha.
Chill.
Love that.
You know, hey, this moment is here. But no need to get above the moment. The moment's going to come. Be present in the moment. Enjoy it. Observe it. And, you know, have fun with the family. But when you step on the field, okay, now when you put on that tape, okay, now the moment is coming. Now we can, hey, let's go. Let's get it. And so leading up to the week, yeah, it's fun. It's exciting when you win the NFC Championship. But throughout that time, like, okay, I'm preparing.
You were there in that end zone when Sherm deflected the ball and Malcolm caught it.
Yeah.
Was that... First of all, that season, did it feel like it was heading that way? Or can you truly not know? Is it just like, man, I got to go out any given Sunday. We know how we feel.
Yeah.
But, you know, you still got to play the game. But, like, I don't know, man. I think even fans felt like coming off of 2012 that, like, we were, like, it was shifting, right?
2012, that was a shift. You saw the last 6-7 weeks. We were blowing out teams.
Yeah.
Wasn't even close. And it's like, okay, we can probably do something cool this year, but we weren't ready. We weren't ready in 2012.
What do you mean?
We weren't ready for it. We weren't Super Bowl caliber. It just wasn't the right time.
Okay.
Who did he play? The
Falcons.
The Falcons. Falcons beat us. We could have beat them. We'd
totally.
Have played the Niners. Wasn't the right time.
Right.
We got a taste of it, though. Like, we got a taste of the playoffs. Like, oh, this is what it feels like. This is what it's like going on the road. This is the attention to details we have to have. This is the type of finish we have to have. We want to call ourselves champions. So you best believe, fast forward, everyone's coming back to 2013. And we knew going into that season, like,
it's on.
It's on this year. It's Super Bowl a bust. And what were we, 13-3?
Oh, yeah, at least.
13-3.
Were you guys sending like group texts, like just like preseason leading up, or no? It's just there was just an unspoken.
What's understood does not have to be explained. You can look at somebody's eyes and tell, like, if this man on the same mission as I am.
Yeah,
you can feel this energy. Like, is this guy as invested into this season as I am? And when I looked around at my guys, I looked and I was like, oh yeah, these dudes, they understand. I guess I'm surrounded by some dogs now.
Yeah, Doug said, Jeff, we good? Yeah. Doug said he was sitting or walked into the locker room pre-Super Bowl against the Broncos in New York, and Cam was sitting there watching, you know, it's all the pregame analysts and just Broncos logos on the screen, everyone's picking, and he said that he and Cam just looked at each other. I don't know if there were other guys in there, but the way he painted the picture, and he just goes, I looked at Cam, and we just kind of nodded and didn't say anything and just was kind of like, let's get it. And like just kind of, but he said we both just watched nobody pick you guys. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and people being, at least on that show, and obviously, like, there are people that were smart enough to be like, the defense is pretty, like, this is, you know, it shouldn't be as out matched as people were going on the limb to say.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The Cam said after all that, he was like, we're going to beat the crap out of these guys. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we were so confident. Can you speak to that?
I told Bobby the week before we went to, you get 2 weeks. I told Bobby the week of that we're about to go to, where were we go? New York.
Yeah.
I said, watching them guys on film, I was like, hey, bro, this game doesn't have to be close. This game's probably not going to be close. And I was looking at the Broncos' offense. I was looking at the defenses they were playing. I'm like, they haven't faced anyone remotely close to what we're going to bring to the table. It's not even close. They were beating bad defenses. And we knew once we stepped on that field and we moved as one, they don't stand a chance. And go turn on that film. When I say moved as one, we were like synchronized swimmers.
Bro.
You know how you watch the Olympics and those women and men dive together and look similar? That's how we were on that football field.
Oh, everybody was on every play. It felt like there could, I mean, there were some tackles where there was like five, six of you guys on the ball, which...
I've never seen anything like it.
Okay.
I've never seen anything like it. I know we were great, you know, for four, but that game...
You truly played the best game that you could have played, right?
I mean... That game showed what phenomenal defense looked like. That game showed what preparation looked like. That game showed what confidence and pissed off looks like. And so just a thing of beauty, us to just move on the string and just go watch that film.
I've watched it so many times, dude.
Yeah. You got to watch the film, not the game.
Oh.
There's a difference between watching film and watching
the game.
Send
me a link, baby. I'll give you my email.
I can get
it. Get the game film?
Yeah. You got to watch the film.
So you mean like the... Okay.
Well, we watch, play, rewind.
Oh, gotcha.
Fast forward.
Not just highlights.
No. The highlights does not do it justice.
I mean, it's pretty good.
It doesn't, trust me.
Put it up to Dark Side of the Moon. It matches up, baby.
You gotta watch the film, man.
The first snap over Peyton's head, I mean, you guys were all running into the end zone like the teacher just said, I bought Haagen-Dazs for the whole class, and she opened the door. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody was running. I could only imagine what you guys were screaming like. It was just such a unexpected start, but also, and Doug and Raves each said, which you can probably attest to, it got so loud where I was like, oh, are we in Seattle? It's so heavy Seahawk.
Yeah.
What was that moment like, I guess, because that truly ended up being indicative of the game.
It was so bizarre, like, because it happened so fast, like. What just happened?
Like, yeah, you couldn't even fathom it.
The ball went over his head and like, you're like, oh, and then you take off like to go get the ball. You're like, oh, and it just happened so fast.
Shout out to Cliff Averill, fastest touchdown in Super Bowl history.
Yeah, and went and got the guy down, and I remember looking in the crowd, just talking smack, like, here we go.
You see some 12s up there too?
Absolutely. The party has officially started.
Wow.
And, just a cool moment, man, for that to happen like that.
Yeah.
Like I guess they sent the message to themselves of what type of day this is going to be.
Do you guys celebrate, you know, each other's, you know, victories on, you see it, especially with that D, like how much, I mean, you guys always just like hyped for the other person.
Yeah.
Where it's like a truly selfless side of the ball where it's like, yeah, man, like everybody wants to contribute,
right?
But selflessly.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trying, like, you don't want to get your picks and your tackles to fill up your stat sheet. You want to do it because you're like, I know how effing good I am. And if I do that, that means things are going the right way because, you know, of where I'm playing on the field.
Yeah, that just went into that love that we have for one another. That just went into, like, I see how much Bobby puts in work. I see how much Brandon Meebane puts in work. When he makes his play, dang right, and we go celebrate, we go talk our smack.
Yeah.
And if you don't get there, then I'm going to do it again. It's like that understanding. Like, I'm going to keep doing it until somebody else makes the play. And so you have to be on the details if you want to survive in this defense because everyone was so good. Everyone was so talented. If you even thought about taking the wrong angle, the guy's going to beat you there.
Would you guys let each other know if somebody, you know, stepped in the wrong spot?
Oh, they'd be like, yeah, let's tighten up. Like, we got to make that play.
Yeah.
Like, let's make that play. Hey, this ran through. Hey, let's get on it. But we didn't have to do that too much because...
I was going
to
say. But he just knew what they were supposed to do,
We didn't have to do that too much.
Can you pinpoint a play? Actually, give me one. One that you made and one... I feel like I've heard you talk on Brock and Salk about certain plays that were really stood out to you. Maybe they did a ranking them or something. But I want to hear a play of yours where you were like, oh, I can't wait to watch that on SportsCenter. And then a play of one of your teammates where you were like, you know... I've heard, talk to Peyton and Kemp about watching Jordan mid-game or just players that they admired that they saw dunk mid-game or somebody on their team that they saw, like Peyton talked about throwing a lob to Kemp and then him throwing it down being like, yeah, dude, I took a step back and was like, this is an incredible piece of athletic prowess.
Yeah.
So your play and then somebody on the team that you...
My play, it was 2018 and one of the worst football years of my life. Because I was injured majority of that year.
Yep.
But division round of the playoffs. No, wild card weekend. We go to Dallas. And fourth quarter, we're losing. They're about to go and score. Situation happens. And I'm on the left side and I see a motion. It's 12 personnel. I see a motion come to my left, and the light bulb clicked in my head. I'm like, okay, I've seen this before. Something's up. I tell Shaquille Griffin, I said, Shaquille, watch the crack and go. Watch the fake run pass.
The crack and go.
Crack and go.
On Aurora, you can also see that play. Aurora Avenue, the crack and go. Come on, KJ, stay with me, baby.
I said, Shaq, watch the crack and go. Ball snaps. Take a step forward. Because they play action.
Yeah.
Take a step forward. I'm like, nope, it's not a run. And I look to my left. I was like, here comes the play. And because the Cardinals ran it on us the week before and scored a touchdown on us. Mm. They ran a fake run wide open to Larry Fitzgerald. Same part of the field, same situation. The Cowboys did it the following week. And I take off running. I'm behind. Poke my right arm out there. Knock it down. Ball still in the air. Tip. Interception. Seahawks football.
Play action. Prescott floats. Pass is picked by KJ Wright.
Hands down, the best play I've ever made in my career.
Wow.
Hands down. From a few different standpoints.
Sure.
From just battling all year with that injury and you finally got to this stage. From taking the film session to the game. From making a tip, interception in this moment. Mm. Hands down, my best play I've ever made.
People went nuts. People come over to you, like, sharing that sentiment.
Best, one of my best feelings I've ever had. Like, I remember Bobby pushing me. I got to the sideline, Norton, like, smacking my shoulder pad.
He'd do a headlock on you.
Yeah, he loves that damn headlock. He loves that. He loves putting his arm around.
Dude, I know. It's such an old white guy move. Like, yeah. Come here, you little rascal.
He loves that. Yeah. And I remember Ellaby hyping me up. And I grew up a Cowboys fan. Remember I telling you earlier?
I grew up
a Cowboys fan. Like, I'm in y'all house making plays on your field.
Oh, that added to it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, that's just crazy in and of itself. To grow up being a fan of, I mean, it's like, you know, you loving Kobe, like these guys that grew up watching Kobe. Like, imagine if you were in the NBA and planning to get, like, to be in that stadium playing against that team. And, like, I mean, that's not lost on you, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You can take some moments.
You use that as fuel.
Yeah.
And I did that. And there's so many plays for my teammates.
Cam Hitz probably people love to talk about, right? Like being like
my
there's a Sherm hit on Goff against Rams. It was pretty
favorite Cam hit was probably my rookie year. Huh. And we're playing the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. Running backs makes run up the middle. He's running. He's going at least 15, 20 miles per hour. Cam hits this dude. Stops him in his tracks. Feet go in the air. And just simply dumps a grown man. Like, how do you? Bro, you're not human.
Yeah, dude.
You are not human.
No.
Dial up a nice run. Another nice run.
This one breaks for Hardesty. Oh. Ooh, is he planted.
And phenomenal play. Favorite Bobby play was from same year, 2018. We're in Seattle. I'm hurt. I'm on the sideline watching. And we call Red LA. Red LA. We call Red LA all the time in the red zone. It's cover two.
Gotcha.
And be like, what the hell is Red LA?
Place. Yeah, yeah.
It's cover two.
I was still thinking about crack and go. You
know? It's cover two in the red zone. And all throughout Bobby's career, we ran Red LA, but they used to throw it to the check down. He would either get there too early or he'll get there late and just make the tackle. He'll get there early. He wouldn't throw it. But they ran Red LA in the red zone. Then the quarterback threw it, and Bobby timed it up perfectly. He dropped back. It was 2x2, and he waited. He knew the check down was coming. He stepped right in, picked it for like 95 yards to the house. And you just saw he practiced that so many times in training camp, in practice, in the games even. When that moment finally happened, he timed it up perfectly, took a pick six to the house.
Pass is intercepted by Bobby Wagner. Only the quarterback to defend. Bobby Wagner with a touchdown.
Damn.
Yeah. And so.
Go ahead.
Who else? Favorite Sherm play?
Yeah, please. By the way, I love that you even just have this fan perspective in you. Like, that's making so many people happy right now that you're like, oh, yeah, I got favorite play. Like,
heck,
you're not too cool to be like, hey man, I mean, like favorite play. I don't know.
Favorite Sharon play. Help me out here.
I mean, the NFC Championship tip is probably the most glorified, but like,
nope. We're playing the Houston Texans.
I was just going to say the Houston pick. That sealed the game.
But you got to understand the play, though.
He pulled the ball out of his hands.
No, you got to understand. No. Let me take you to practice.
Okay. You are the guest.
Let me take you to practice. Excited. We were practicing this play all week. Dan Quinn said, DQ was the coordinator. He said, we get in a situation, it's going to be 3rd and 1. They love running the boot, stretch boot. Said, third and one comes in this situation. I'm going to call this blitz. The blitz is slasher. So we're bringing Cam off the edge, and it was Malcolm Smith off the edge. We're going to bring a slasher. Cam, you're going to hit the quarterback right in his face for a sack, or Sherm. There's going to be a guy in the flat. You be there in the flat. You pick the ball off. We practice the same exact play.
Get out of here,
in
dude.
Practice. And I wish I could bring up the practice clips.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, here we come. We're losing. I think we're losing in this game.
You came from behind the whole game, yeah. They were up. I want to say they were up maybe like 19-0 at one point. I mean, it was like a significant comeback.
And the situation happens 4th quarter. It's so funny. 3rd and 1. We didn't have to get the call from DQ. We didn't have to get it from him.
You just saw it.
We was like, the call is slasher. This is the call. Lo and behold, Dan Quinn calls slasher. They run a boot. Cam is right in the quarterback's face. Sherm's right in the flat. Who's that quarterback that threw it to him?
Hoyer? No.
The old guy. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
One of them old guys. Threw it right to Sherm and picked it to the house. Touchdown.
Sean has it. Throws. And it's intercepted by Richard Sherman. He's going down the sideline. He has followers, and not just on Twitter.
Unreal, dude.
That's all right.
So circumstances, the moment, like everything that had kind of contributed to that, made that a special play.
Yeah.
Wow. On the flip side of the ball, do you get juiced up from seeing a Marshawn run or a Russ throw or a Luke Wilson touchdown dance or are you? We always see you guys like, you know, watching during offense and taking a breather. You have to, right? Or are you sitting there having to just like, you know, stay engaged?
No, when you get to the sideline, you watch the eye pass. Like, what happened? How did they score? What did we do good? What did they do great?
But you're not watching movies on the iPads. You're watching the game.
No movies. Gotcha, yeah. No movies.
Never knew,
And I can't call them iPads. It's tablets. Microsoft tablets.
Look at it. There's your cam right there for that little promo. Yeah.
Microsoft tablets. That'd be $20,000. Yeah. And so you get there, you're watching your thing, but you best believe, like, I enjoyed the show. I enjoy watching Doug. Like, I would be on the sideline. It's 3rd down. Just throw the ball to Doug.
Bro,
he's going to catch it.
Come on. Wizard.
Throw the ball his way. He's going to catch it. I felt that about Doug, and I felt that about Tyler. Throw the ball to one of those two dudes. Something is going to happen. And you best believe watching Marshawn run over dudes, run around them, stiff arming them to the ground. Russell doing his thing, getting out of sacks and just throwing the ball upfield, and it's a touchdown. That was a beautiful show to watch. Those guys were very, very fun to watch. And just how the DBs, I mean, not the DBs, the receivers just felt like disrespected. They played with that chip on their shoulder. Yeah. I felt that.
Yeah.
I resonated with that because I felt the same myself. Like, I'm playing good. I am contributing to this team. But where's my Pro Bowl nod? Where's my All-Pro nod? I felt the same way. And so just to see everybody's journey, everybody's story that played on their team, and just it was a beautiful sight to see.
Is it easy to get yourself hyped up for a game, easier that when you know like the weather conditions are going to be like ideal? And I guess what I'm referring to is the Minnesota playoff game. Doug was like, that was not fair how cold that was. And I was like, I mean, I'm glad you said that because I mean, that was insane. And I don't think you've probably ever played in a game that was as cold as that, right?
I didn't want to play in the game.
There we go.
When I stepped out of that hotel, I'm like, this is not going to be fun. This is not cool for us to play in this temperature.
You talk about having your football juices, right? And you said going to Oakland or Vegas, you weren't having it. So, I mean, is that kind of in a crap weather situation?
It was a sense of like, I'm not going to have fun on this football field. I'm just in here just to like low-key survive.
Wow,
like,
there you go.
This sucks. And we did pregame warm. We couldn't even finish our pregame warm-ups. It was so cold. And I'm lubing myself up. I'm putting on 3 pairs of socks, Vaseline, and hand warmers. Didn't wear any
Vaseline. Gets you, what does it do? Just kind of add another
insulation,
layer?
Insulation. Yeah. Doesn't work.
Yeah, I was going to say, what porn star told
still
you that?
Freezing. It's funny.
Like, who came in? Pete's like, all right, we got that Dirk Diggler from the 80s. This guy's real popular. Still, you can still find his stuff online. He's like, all right, fellas, lube it up. Right side, left side. Keep your way. All right, so you're covered as much as you can be.
Yeah.
But Mother Nature's penetrating.
She kicked my tail.
Damn, dude.
And I didn't wear any sleeves. I didn't wear sleeves. Bobby didn't wear sleeves. Bruce didn't wear sleeves. We were the only three. We're like, we're not wearing sleeves.
Gangster, dude.
Gangsters. Gangster. But yeah, we went out there. I played ball, played decent, got up out of there.
When Blair Walsh missed that kick, was it like, I mean, I would feel like you were lying if you were telling me, I knew he was going to miss it. Like, there's no way anyone thought he was going to miss that.
Yeah.
It's too much of a chip shot. As cold as it was, I mean, I guess there's, again, any given Sunday, yeah. But like, please tell me, I guess, where you were. Was it kneeling down and praying, or was it just like walking back almost being like, next season?
I was so devastated because I messed up in that series. I made something up. I tried to be over too aggressive, and I saw the play clearly. I'm like, he's going to throw it to the running back. And I went away from my responsibility to chase the running back, and they threw it to the tight end that was in my spot. I felt like dog crap.
It was a big play down the right side. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was me. If anyone didn't notice, they probably thought it was Cam, but no, it was me. And
how often does that happen, by the way? Because that's a very interesting thing that you just brought up. Like, and again, you guys, I think, also prided yourselves on, you know, having instincts and being able to read the situation and take a chance because of who you had behind you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, and you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, but like sometimes it is going to blow up in your face.
And you want to be aggressive as a football player, but you want to take, I call them educational shots. Like when you see something on film, you know it's coming. But at the same time, KJ, you know that when they ran this route, they ran the what I call that, out route behind you.
Yeah.
So you know you have that Cam, has that trust Cam to do his job. I was like, no, I'm going to make the play. And I jumped it. Teddy Bridgewater threw right to my guy. So that does happen. And, you know, you don't want to make stuff
so
up.
You're down on yourself.
Trust your teammates. I'm down. Yeah. But then I saw Blair Walsh. Like, here we go. It's like, it's here. I'm like, just get it through. And like 13 seconds left. And this dude completely hooked it.
How did you know? Just from watching, or did the screams, or like the boot?
I turned around and looked at it. I looked at all the field goals. I looked at it. I was like, what? And I ran off the field, happy, excited.
You're still playing.
Sherm, I remember watching Sherm drop to his knees. It was a fun moment for us.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Because we went all out. And it was went to low scoring game. We were battling, fighting.
Also, the weather, it's like truly to come out of a game like that and
so fulfilling.
I mean, it's like the 2014 game against the Packers. Like, I can't imagine there's a game that you walk away from being like,
how do we get out of this?
Totally. Well, I was doing shows at the San Jose Improv, and I'm at a Niners bar, obviously, and upstairs, because I was wearing Hawks gear, and the owner was like, I don't care who you are, you're watching upstairs by yourself with like my buddy. He was like, we don't want any Seahawks fans down here.
Oh, wow.
But it was the only bar that was like not jam packed. So we were like, all right. So we had our own private little area. And I'm telling you, man, like play after play, John makes that, you know, pass, and then slowly, and then just, you know, and then even I think Russ made a pick with like three, maybe less than 4 minutes left after one had just happened. And I truly was like, not our day. That's when I resolved to the idea of like, sometimes it's not your day.
And I myself said, after that last interception, I myself was like, oh, it's a wrap. Like,
how can you come back from four of those, right? Like, that's just...
It's not even four of them. It was like the time of the game.
Right.
Like, we just do another interception. Like, there is no possible way.
Do you get mad at just... mad in general, or are you guys, obviously I know, you know, it's tough to not put it on Russ, but he is the one throwing it. So is it a thing where you look at him like, dude, what the like, or do you just have to go, he just made a wrong, we've all made bad plays, I guess, right? Yeah. I don't know.
You're just mad.
Yeah.
It's never personal, but you're just mad at the situation. Like, I can't get mad at anybody for trying their best and trying their hardest. He prepares hard. He thought it was the right read. Didn't happen. So I'm just mad that we're losing. I'm mad that we got an interception. I'm mad that this person gave up a touchdown. I'm never mad at the person. Yeah, that's not right, because we all, you know, put a lot of stuff into this. So you never want to make it personal.
The crowd must have been like, I mean, boo.
Like, it sucks. Sorry. Great season going away.
What do you want me to say right now?
Like, it's one of them days.
So talk about that flip down. I mean, from boos to probably the craziest that stadium has ever been, because that type of a comeback has to be in a top five somewhere.
Yeah.
To maybe probably top three.
Yeah. And then, like, the way it happened, like, okay, we got some life. Marshawn makes that catch on the sideline. He runs it in. Russell gets the quarterback read. He runs in. Okay. We may have something here. It depends on the onside kick. If we don't get the onside kick, the game's over. The game's over. And you needed Bostic. Unfortunately, I feel bad. I did feel bad for him.
Totally did.
I feel bad for him.
You're a good guy, man.
But
I know. It's my mom said the same thing. She's like, oh, he must be so upset, but that's what you get, you know? Because it's like, hey, man, that's sports.
Yeah, and so just terrible, terrible decision on his end, but we capitalized off of it. Chris Matthews gets the tip.
Big time.
And we go down there and we score. We score a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
Score a touchdown. We go up. And then Russ makes another improbable play to Luke Wilson. I'm like, none of this is supposed to happen. This is not football. I don't know. This isn't football right now.
It's not even backyard football. Russ made so many twists and turns. I was like, bro, just throw it out of bounds at this point.
Everything said we should lose this game, but this happened. That happened. Onside kick, a lob to Luke that just floated in there for 45 seconds, and he catches it.
Yeah, Hinton Dix just made it. He just mistimed it.
Mistimed it. And then Aaron Rodgers get the ball. Okay. He needs a field goal. Then he gets a field goal, and then Hail Mary to Jermaine.
Do you feel the crowd, like, I know you guys feed off that, the way I do with stand-up. Like, it's, you just can't, you have a better crowd.
Yeah.
You play harder.
Absolutely.
Just because of the energy. It's just, it's a human thing. Like, you're always going out there to do your job, but, like, there is something as, just the way that we respond to...
It's energy.
Yeah.
Like, I feel your energy right now.
Appreciate it.
Like, you're excited. You're happy. I had
16 Capri Suns before I came in here, so it's a lot of sugar, baby.
Yeah.
No.
When I walked into the Vegas stadium, the energy is not there. It's just simply not there. I walked into CenturyLink in my glory days, when you go out for warm-ups, you feel like every person in this stadium is invested in this game.
So awesome.
I am here for you. I am here because I love the Seahawks and that logo on your helmet. We're in this together. And so you best believe when a game's happening, when we're losing, you feel that they're down. When they're booing, you feel that.
Kids crying. For sure,
no,
man.
No, grown men crying. Grandpa's out there
You
crying.
Saw that, huh? Yeah, dude, I've shed some... Oh, my God, yeah. So...
You've cried during the football game?
Oh, yeah. The last time I... Well, maybe not football. Well, my own football game, yeah.
Okay, like a Seahawks game...
Seventh grade. I'll tell you actually when I cried in a football game. First of all, I played seventh grade select football. So I was seventh grade, and it was a club team. There were eighth and ninth and tenth graders on.
Yeah.
No, maybe up to freshman year high school. Tenth would have been crazy. Yeah. Playing with a seventh grader. But I was a big kid.
Yeah.
My buddy pulled me in. I had scored on my own team, and my buddy's dad called me an effing idiot. And I was like, that's a wrap for soccer for me. I'm going to try football. Big kid. Wasn't supposed to wear pads the first day of practice. My coach, this guy named Don, like Swanson. Big, starter Huskies jacket, UW jacket. Kurt hit a mullet. He just had it like this. I eat cigarettes for breakfast, you know. And he was just like, Adam Ray's our new guy. He's like, he's not going to pad up today, you know. And I just kind of called me out. And I was like, I will if I should. And then he's like, dude, let's do it. So then I do angle tackling with this kid named Alan Roquet. I think he had a car dealership and two girlfriends. This kid was in ninth grade. He was a beast, dude. He was a little 5'8", would mess you up. And, what should you not do in angle tackling? If you're the person running, what should you not do?
If you're the person running?
If I'm running and Alan's coming at me, what should I not do?
Cut back?
Slow down?
Yeah.
So, exactly. So, just stop the forward movement.
Yeah.
So, I turn and see Alan running towards me, and I stop and freeze, and he lays me out.
You out.
You know, it's just like, again, just
not
stopping.
Smart. Yeah. Not smart.
So, and I think he, like, dislocated my back, and, like, that questioned my sexuality. Like, everything was up in the air at that point. I was like, I don't know who I am anymore. And so, there was a point to this story.
Crying,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, water, yeah.
Go.
So, then we, Brady, you got a water back there? There we go. Boom.
No, it's...
Go ahead.
Yeah? Sorry.
Oh, no, we're good. I remember crying over... Better? What
do you want? Go ahead.
You got your own water?
Yeah.
No, we're good. Okay. Dude, you're so... Dude, this is the media guy, and you being like, I don't want to break the story. Yeah,
go,
momentum.
Keep going.
What do we need? We're good?
Don't worry about it. This has been open. Don't worry about it.
No, what do you want? We got
essential
you.
Essential water.
Yeah. I got this. Is there an essential water?
We're good. We're good. We're
is
good.
It yours?
Yeah.
Let's grab it.
No, I'm fine right here. Finish the dang story. I feel bad. This is a good story.
I don't want you to be dehydrated during the rest of this punch up. So then, I'm crying at home to my mom, and she was like, maybe football's not for you. And that was all it took for me to be like, you know, screw you. Like, I'm going back. I gotta toughen up. And it did toughen me up.
Yeah.
I eventually ended up quitting to do plays instead. And again, make hoops the passion. But
well, that's an okay reason to cry.
Totally. But I remember being, I mean, look, I cried when the Mariners just broke the playoff drought. I was in Memphis at the Peabody.
Happy tears.
Had just seen the Duck Show, so that probably also got me revved up because I was like, these guys try so hard and no one's watching, you know. Is there a moment you've had? We just got a few minutes left. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
About three, four more minutes.
That's wrong.
You're a beast, by the way. Thanks for making time, dude. Yeah, has this been what you thought it was going to be?
Yeah, I didn't think my sons would be here quiet, but they're
killing
it. They're crushing it.
They're killing it. The experience of like playing, like you said, like at CenturyLink, Lumen, Quest, like, and the fans, have there been moments, I guess, with fans that have like, you know, just talk about crying, like taking you back a little bit where you've been like, man, like whether it's a letter or, you know, you guys meeting kids at practice or post game or on the field pregame. Have there been just something like a bigger than football moment where you're like, I didn't really recognize the impact I have?
Too many to explain.
Yeah.
And I was with my dad last year. We went to Alaska. We went to go fishing and we went and visited, you know, hospitals and some kids. And I asked my dad, I said, hey, man, did you ever think that I would have this kind of impact on people and, like, you know, have people feel this way? He said, I never would have thought it. And just, like, the way that I had impact on people, and I'm trying to always give here, give there, but and it's like they give back to me as well. Like, they just resonate something in my spirit. And it's like with this game of football, it's just so much bigger than Sundays. This is people's lives that surround around this game. People go through so much stuff. Then when they turn on TV at 1 o'clock to watch us play, they like can just get away from their treatment or this any addiction they're going. They can just get away for this moment, and just for us to provide that escape for them, for us to provide that escape for our own selves. Mm. The game of football does nothing like any other sport on this planet. Right?
Totally.
And so, I mean, just the people that I met, the kids, just the, you know, the famous people, like, this game has brought me so much, and I'm just forever thankful for what the game of football brought me. Yeah, when I had my one-day contract, I don't know if you saw it, but I was, like, boo-hooing like a baby.
Oh, yeah. I was going to bring that up. I mean.
Because it was, like, so many people went into my journey. And I'm like, I've been doing this since I was, my kids. I've been playing this game since I was my kids' age. Like, so many people poured life into me. So many people doubted me. So many people believed in me. And I made so many plays. You know, I got these accolades. But, like, this is a real-life journey that I just went through. And for me to, like, close that chapter, it's bittersweet.
Totally.
Like, I'm happy I got out healthy. I'm happy my family's here.
Yeah.
But I didn't want that to end. Like, that's a feeling you want to last.
Really?
As long as possible.
What contributes to that, you know, hanging it up?
Family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year, my kids weren't with me when I went to Vegas. And my wife stayed back because I signed late. Yep. School had already started. And just going to that empty house every day, going to bed by myself, waking up by myself, entering the stadium by myself, I said, I'm not doing this again. I said, I love football, but not more than my wife and kids.
Totally.
And so I knew that going to year 12, it would be the similar thing. Sign late, have to leave, go somewhere else and play. I'm like, to hell with that. I've done enough in my career, earned enough money. Like, let me go live.
And had this, now analyst career was kind of maybe on the back burner, was kind of like seeping around. Is that kind of also what made you go, all right, at least I've got an idea of what I'm going to do? Because I think that's the scariest thing, is to stop and then go,
yeah,
maybe see if Albertsons needs a freaking bagger. Like, I don't know. You know, I'm pretty.
No, the way that the analyst came about, they called me. Yeah, they called me. And
so you weren't even thinking of it?
I guess a little bit, but Kyle Brown, he like, I don't know how
shout
you
out to
no,
Kyle, man.
No, I ran into Mike Salk.
All right, screw Kyle. Shout out to Mike, yeah.
That's what I ran into Mike Salk at an event. And I was like, I was like, I've seen you before talking about the smack about my teammates.
You look like a guy with a voice that kind of sucks. Yeah, you've said some things that I don't agree with, and just yeah.
And he's like, hey man, how about you come on? Let me interview you one time. And so we connected instantly.
Awesome.
And then I connected with him, Kyle Brown, one big happy triangle. And I was like, we want to offer you to come on and have your own KJ Wright show.
Dang.
I was like, really?
Before any appearances.
I just did that one thing with Salk, and it was like, I guess they trusted me enough to give me my own show.
I listened to it. It was incredible.
Yeah. People love it.
What sort of messages did you get, former teammates and people hitting you up being like, I heard?
I go to the grocery store. I take my kids to school. I was somewhere yesterday. I was I took my car to the dealership. I was like, man, you're doing good on your show. Keep it going. I'm like, you guys know it's over, right? Like, I stopped during the season, but they still bring it up to this day.
Wow.
And so I'm coming back next year.
Bro, I mean,
I'm coming back next year.
So now it's got to have a, it's planted the seed in you as far as like wanting to, I'm sure that, I mean, it's only natural at some point they bring you in to get on, whether it's pre-post and then maybe getting in the booth for some stuff, right?
Like, next step is the booth.
Bro, I'll tell you this, just from a podcasting, stand-up, whatever it is, like entertainment, been on the side for a hot minute. A, your voice is like, you got to get into the audiobooks at some point. I don't know if it's just like reading Dr. Seuss poems or something, but like you got a real like soothing, but also a natural like enthusiasm, which is like comes through the airwaves.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll just give you this compliment. You are very KJ Wright. Like you know what I'm saying? I don't feel like when you're talking that you're like wavering or trying to figure out how you feel about it. Like this whole conversation, like I've asked you a question, you've like seen the answer. You had, you knew what it was.
Yeah.
And that's an acquired skill set that not everybody is walking around with.
Yeah, yeah. And so I truly believe I do have a gift.
Yeah.
I have a gift that I want to bring to the people. Can you imagine me on game day?
Bro, I'd love it.
Can you imagine my brain to the fans on game day?
Wow, dude. When you put it like that, yeah.
Like, no, that's not what happened. This is what happened.
Yeah.
And so
we need that.
I know. And so I'm going to do it.
That's awesome.
I'm going to do it.
Last few things. You talked about playing pickup basketball. You weren't in the last Champions of Change game.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're going to get that going again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would like to think, Cliff gave me a verbal confirmation that I'm back. You need diversity. So let's start with that. But can you hoop?
Yes. And I can't play in the game, though.
Injuries.
No, I'm having my own event the same day this year.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Can we plug that? Yeah. You do a lot of charitable work, by the way.
Yeah. So I'm having, I guess I can announce.
All right. Yeah.
I'm doing something. Y'all don't want to announce.
Hey, stay tuned. Follow you on.
Stay tuned.
KJ Wright 30. What are you?
KJ _ Wright 34 at Gmail. No, that's my email.
Yeah.
I'm tripping.
But yeah, we'll block that out. We'll bleep that out.
KJ _ Wright 34.
On IG and Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah. You do a lot of stuff. Rabo was telling me, I don't know this, in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Time of my life when I went there. Went there on a guy's trip. Me, myself, Malcolm Smith, Maxwell, crazy tale. And
bachelor party? What was it?
Guy's trip.
Wow.
And I was going there, and we had the time of our lives, and we went to visit a school. And I saw this little girl, like seven years old. She had a bottle of water, but the water was brown. She's drinking brown water. And I asked the people, I said, what is going on with this water? I was clueless to it. Like, yeah, the girls are responsible for getting the water every day. They got to walk miles. So a lot of girls don't get to go to school. And so I was like, we got to get this fixed. And I love that place. That place, resonated so much in my spirit. And so I took it upon myself. And with the help of other people, like, let's get a well built here. Let's get a water well built here in the Masai Mara, Kenya. So we got two built, raised the funds, got two water wells built. And man, when that water came out of that well for the first time, and just with the kids there, like that was everything.
What an impact.
That, like, we're talking water.
Yeah.
Talking
shouldn't
shower,
have to think about
shower, brush your teeth,
if it's good or not.
Drink.
Oh man.
It's a necessity that we have, but everyone doesn't have that necessity. So something that I've done and been there twice. I loved it.
It's amazing.
So I'll be back there soon.
Good for you, man. Yeah, you strike me as someone that it's not lost on you, like what you've been blessed with, but what you've created your own good luck and taken advantage of the opportunities that you put yourself in a position to make good on. But and Seattle too, I feel like, and the Seahawks, I think is leading the charge at like yeah. crushing it in the community.
Absolutely.
And just being a man of the people. Like you saying, getting recognized at grocery stores and this and that. Like people people love it. We're not, you know, I'm sure you've had some abrasive moments with, you know, some young frat guy that's just like, dude, KJ, you're on my fantasy team, man. And you're killing it, man.
The worst is the pat on the back. Like, keep it going.
Bro. Thanks,
don't hit,
man.
Don't hit me on my back like that, bro.
Also, thanks for the keep it going. I was doubting myself, but you know,
Troy
from Bremerton smacking me in the lower back.
And but yeah, it's fun, man. And you just look at life like I truly believe like God placed us on this earth to serve others. Like life isn't about.
I hear that.
Life isn't about me. Life isn't about you.
Well,
you are here to serve. Others, you are here to make this world better than how you found it, and so that's what I'm here for. That's what God called me to do. So that's what I'm gonna execute His mission.
You're a big quote guy.
Yeah,
I love that. I don't know. You've said a lot of things that I'm like all resonate. Like, and you said like Jim Henson who created the Muppets, a hero of mine, and like he said like he wants to leave this earth better than before he got.
Oh yeah, he stole that from me.
What if you were like, he also stole the idea for Ralph the Dog? That was my character. Guys, any questions? Brady, you stayed quiet the whole time. Appreciate it.
I feel like we didn't get to a lot.
We crushed everything. Oh, yeah.
We crushed everything?
Oh, yeah, dude. Here's how I know it was good. I make a map, and I go down the list of a bunch of stuff. Didn't hit half of it. More of it, actually, because the conversation was flowing. But also, I feel like I'm pretty good at, like, improv. Keeping things on track, improv for sure.
Yeah.
And also going off on tangents, but getting back to it. And there's a lot of things. If I'm not going to this a lot, that means I'm present here, and that means that things that you say spawn another question.
Yeah.
And I'd rather hit that than go to what I got. Does that make sense? Because I feel like that's, if something happened organically there, I'm like, oh, cool. I'm gonna default to curious brain versus prepared laptop.
Yeah. Good. I like it.
All right, guys.
Come and my boys stay quiet.
Yeah, dude, they crushed it.
This is The Confused Breakfast,
a movie podcast creating a lot of ruckus around the world.
We talk about classic movies the same way that you and your friends talk about them.
With a little bit of film buff knowledge thrown in because we just can't help ourselves.
If movie quotes are part of your daily vocabulary.
If you like to talk about fun fan theories.
If you've always wanted to punch a movie character in the face.
We're here to podcast for you.
From Back to the Future.
Ghostbusters.
The Shining. And so many more.
Check out The Confused Breakfast wherever you listen to podcasts.